Welcome to Tashma, the podcast where you get to listen in on Hadar's Beit Midrash. I'm Rabbi Avi Killip. In 5784, Rabbi Avi Strausberg will be sharing Divrei Torah on this podcast, covering both Jewish and secular holidays. Here is Rav Avi's Divar Torah for Tu Bishvat. Let's listen.
In my 20s, I participated in the Adama Farm Fellowship, a Jewish farming program where we learned about the intersection between Judaism and sustainability as we lived, davened, and farmed together. It was there that I first learned how asparagus grows like slim fingers out of the ground, taking 3 years to fully mature. I remember being stunned. 3 full years for an asparagus plant to mature? 3 years to wait patiently, tending its growth, waiting to see the literal fruits of one's efforts? At the time, I was traveling a lot and rarely in one place for more than 6 months. I couldn't imagine the commitment it would require to plant asparagus and tend it, committing to be there to harvest it 3 years later. Asparagus, amazingly, has a lot in common with the origins of Tu Bishvat. In Vayikra, the Torah teaches us, "When you enter the land and plant any tree for food, you shall regard its fruit as forbidden. 3 years it shall be forbidden for you, not to be eaten." Just as asparagus takes 3 years to mature, requiring our patience and care, so too the Torah teaches us that we must wait 3 years before we partake of the fruit of any trees we plant. Tu Bishvat, the 15th of Shvat, acts as a marker by which we can determine a tree's age, allowing us to count these years required by the Torah. Tu Bishvat, then, is a holiday that is about slow growth, patience, and gratitude. In a culture that is all about instant gratification and next-day delivery, Tu Bishvat teaches us to slow down. It requires us to wait. In Masechet Brachot, Rabbi Abin Halevi teaches, "Anyone who forces the moment forces them, and anyone who yields to the moment will wait for them." This text teaches us that sometimes we have to be patient, allowing something to unfold in its correct time. If we try to force an outcome to happen on our schedule, not only won't we succeed, we may find ourselves pushed aside in the process. But if we are patient, if we recognize that we do not control time, then eventually we will be successful, with time standing by our side. On the one hand, I find this to be an incredibly compelling teaching about the value of patience and recognition of the limits of our power. We can't always have what we want when we want it. There are circumstances beyond our control. We need to accept that not everything is on our schedule. This is a necessary lesson for children and adults alike. On the other hand, this text can lead us toward an approach to life in which patience becomes passivity. Must we always stand aside, waiting for the moment to yield to us? Are there not some moments in which we get to and have to make something happen on our own timetable? Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Zera fall on two different points on this continuum when it comes to settling the land of Israel. Based on a verse in Jeremiah, Rav Yehuda teaches that we don't get to return to Israel when we want to return. Rather, we have to wait until God decides it's the right time. Rav Yehuda is on the side of patience. You can't force the moment. You have to wait for the moment to come. Rabbi Zera, however, who wants to move to Israel himself, tries to do so without his teacher, Rav Yehuda, realizing. According to the Gemara, Rabbi Zera interprets the verse from Jeremiah differently. It's not that an individual can't move to Israel if they want. It's that the whole group can't resettle the land without permission from God. Rabbi Zera is not exactly forcing the moment, but he's not willing to wait passively while he waits for the moment either. He offers a model of what it might look like to take matters into our own hands, even while we're waiting, rather than doing nothing until God makes a sweeping gesture. I come back to my farming days at Adama. When it comes to growing vegetables, we have control over a number of ifs. If we plant, if we mulch, if we water. We can't sit back completely passive and expect a garden to grow. And yet there are also many factors beyond our control. The sun, the rain, the pollinators, the pests. All of this is beyond our control. If growth is to happen, it will happen on its own internal clock, not ours. So too in our lives. We can set the conditions for the dreams we want to come to fruition in the world. We can plant, we can mulch, we can water. We can begin to move projects forward. We can take risks. We can take action. But we also have to accept with humility that some things are not in our control. For me, there is a peace and acceptance that comes with acknowledging the limits of what I can make happen. For many of us, we are not yet in the season of growth. The ground is still hard, the night long, the mornings cold. But soon it will be time for growth. And this year, let us be patient. We will plant, we will mulch, we will water. It will take time, and we will wait for it.
Our producers for this episode are Sam Greenberg and Jeremy Tabak. Thank you to Nadav Remez for editing this episode. I'm your host, Rabbi Avi Killip. It's been a pleasure to learn with you.